Happy Friday, everybody. Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by great sponsors like the folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. We're all looking for that next Disney adventure, whether it's down to Walt Disney World, heading out to Disneyland, or sailing with the Disney Cruise Line. And when you're ready to plan that next great vacation, work with one of the great planners over at the Magic for Less. They are an earmarked platinum agency, which means they book a lot of Disney and their guests rate them very, very highly. And that's a great reason, because that means they have the experience to help you plan the most amazing Disney vacation ever. And right now there's great specials out there for Walt Disney World. So, hey, save some money in early 2017. Drop by themagicforless.com today. Fill out that free no obligation quote and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Check them out today. They're going to make your next Disney vacation awesome. They're over at themagicforless.com. Today's show is also proudly sponsored by longtime listener Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. Drew is a financial advisor who has realized that he gets the most enjoyment out of working with like-minded clients and has built his business working with many people who share his same passion for Walt Disney World. Drew does retirement planning and investment management and conducts many meetings over the phone or Skype for those who aren't local to his Fort Wayne or Indianapolis, Indiana offices. Drew and his staff aim to bring the Disney difference in service into his business and how he treats his clients. Looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture? Then support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at ameriprise advisors.com/drew.baker. Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA and SIPC.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1083 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Friday to you. And if I sound a little excited, it's because I'm actually super tired because we had conferences, parent-teacher conferences all week, which meant going in early, staying late. But the reason that I'm happy is that today is a comp day. No school for Mike. So, yes, three-day weekend. I know. It's well, you know, you put in your hours on Monday through Thursday, your extra day's worth. So you get today off. So it's a good deal. And we're so close to Wine and Dine Race weekend. I can taste it. Oh, I'm so excited to get down there. So anyway, we're going to be answering more of your social media listener questions. We got so many last week that we got to do two shows. You guys are killing us, but we love it. You're killing us, but we're loving you guys at the same time. So joining me today from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and the Mouse for Less, we have Ricky. What is going on this fine Friday, Ricky?
I am ready for some whining and some dining. Oh. That is 100% true. I'm ready.
Do you have your costume ready for the Lumiere's two-course challenge this year?
Yeah, I'm not running, so see, there's that. And you have fun running by the sewage plant, which is what I saw. So
yeah, I was kind of disappointed in the course. I got to say, you know, we try to keep it positive here, but we got to keep...
That course is not very good.
It's not.
I'm not going to lie.
If you had to put it in Mike Rallman terms, it's not the best course ever. Because we run that exact same route during marathon, but we run it in the opposite direction. We run towards Animal Kingdom from Magic Kingdom, and it's not awesome. Let's just say that it's, you know, you get a little time in Epcot, a little time in Animal Kingdom, more time in the Animal Kingdom than anywhere else, but. You know, you get to run out of Wide World of Sports. You don't really get to run in Wide World of Sports. So it is what you make it. You know, we're going to have a good time with lots of great friends. So it'll be fun.
Yeah, that is true. It's going to be a good time with great friends.
More time to see all the great costumes on Osceola Parkway.
Yeah.
All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. What is going on, Pam, up in Pennsylvania?
It's great in Pennsylvania this week. I'm telling you, I love when the fall comes and we get that, you know, we get some like Indian summer. I think that that's always a cool thing, and love these listeners' questions. I will say last Wednesday's, we had some great questions there. They keep us on our toes, I think, right? I mean, you know, all these folks who want to do the Uber planning make us more casual planners, know about all this stuff. So I love that. And I love some of the questions and I love just thinking it out. So very cool.
Yeah, and speaking of Uber planning and just Uber in general, my good friend Adam down in Huntsville, Alabama, is the greatest Uber driver ever. So if you're ever in Huntsville and you need to drive around in the sweetest Jeep, I don't know. Have you seen Ricky? I know it used to be called Simba One. I think it still is. So you can actually be picked up in Simba One to be taken around the Rocket City. So good job, Adam. All right. So we are continuing with your social media questions at hashtag AskBOGP. But while we're recording here live on Facebook, I got a good question from Brian. And he says, after the $30 Haunted Mansion tiki mug madness, what is the most you guys would be willing to pay for a souvenir drink in a mug? So, okay, so we've probably all kind of fallen prey to Disney's marketing where you got to have the mug. You got to have the, you know, how many people have you seen walking around with the TIE Fighter popcorn bucket, you know, or, you know, some kind of trinket like that. I mean, it's like, you know, the sucker's only worth $3 and you know, like in 6 months, it'll only be worth 50 cents at a garage sale, but you got to have it now. So, Ricky, what's your maximum you go on some kind of a souvenir like this Haunted Mansion tiki mug that's so popular right now?
Oh man, that's tough. I think 30 is probably about my max of what I would do. That Haunted Mansion tiki mug was pretty awesome, so I think that would be about my max. But honestly, it would probably be like, if it wasn't as cool as the Haunted Mansion one, it would probably be about like 15 or something, or 20. But the Haunted Mansion one was pretty awesome, I have to say.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I mean, like, you see other people that have them, and I think, you know, Disney's so good at this. They create the madness around it. You know what I'm saying? Like at Trader Sam's right now, you got to get the wristband to get the mug. So it's like, oh, I got a mug, you know, like I won the game. No, Disney won the game because they got $30 for the mug.
Of course. Yeah. Disney definitely won the game. But, you know, you feel good that you got the tiki mug that you wanted. So there's that. And actually they're now out of the tiki mug, so you can't get it anymore. The Haunted Mansion one's gone. All done.
For now.
There's actually a warehouse of like 28,000 more, but yeah, for right now.
I assume we'll probably see it again next year. Warehouse, but yeah, for this year, I bet it's done.
But I mean, you know, I could see it though. There's a lot of people that have like themed rooms in their houses. And so you have like an area of your house where you're a big collector of Haunted Mansion, or just like the tiki culture. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a unique item that, you know, hey, if it makes you happy, go for it. So, Pam, what about you? I mean, you know, Steve, you guys ever gone for anything that's, you know, you got? I know you have. What am I saying? Have you? What have you done?
Is this a pillow? Are we talking about a pillow?
Yes. Right?
Yeah, there it is. That's it. Yeah.
Yes. You know, I hate to say that there's a max. For most things, I am not typically a collector of things. But if there's something that I really wanted, I would hate to say that I would only pay X amount of dollars for.
That's true. I mean, you know, let's be honest. I really wanted that lamp that was at Alani, but I didn't buy it. But it was really cool, and I thought about it for a hot second. It's like something like $200+, but I still thought about it for a hot second going, I'm never going to get this anywhere else but here.
And so there are just things like that that I really like think about. Now, I'm not one who is a collector of glasses, really. So I would keep it like $30, $40 for that thing. But there are certain things that if I felt like that's something that would really look good in my house or whatever. I do like some of the art pieces. So I definitely have paid probably more than I should for some of those. And there are other things. But I mean, you know, everyone has their thing that means something to them, the thing that, you know, they really, really like. So I think that's I hate to say I would put a limit on that. I mean, of course, there would be a limit within some reason, but you know what I mean. So,
you know, as I look at my New Balance Disney shoes, I can't talk. And as I look around the studio here, I cannot talk because I have R2-D2 and BB-8 drink, you know, not mugs, but. True. Although they came with like a drink in them.
All bets are off for the Star Wars stuff, I will say. It was something I felt like could work into my, my decor here at home. So, anyways.
All right, next question from the live Facebook chat comes from Wade. We won't hold it against him that he is a Nebraska and Cubs fan. I mean, come on now. You need to get some teams. But anyway, any reason to stay at the Animal Kingdom during Wine and Dine weekend late at night? Anything happening on the waterfront? So, Ricky, would you say that there's a reason over the Wine and Dine weekend to be in the Animal Kingdom late?
if you haven't seen the nighttime stuff, I say absolutely. I love the nighttime experience at Disney's Animal Kingdom, and I can't believe I'm saying these words, but I really, really loved it. So I would say yes, if you really want to experience Animal Kingdom at night, go to it. I think it's awesome. I had a lot of fun.
It is fun.
So go.
Yeah. And definitely go to Nomad Lounge. It's fun. You know, it's kind of in the spirit of wine and dine. You know, go there and check out a new little hidden treasure of Walt Disney World. All right, Ricky. So I know you have some of the other questions from our Facebook group, so I'm going to let you take care of those. So go ahead.
Yes. Okay. So we have a couple of them. So the first one is from Nikki Manley, and she asks, first of all, Mike, who is the voice of your podcast intro, the Ready to Take a Trip Around the World guy? I've always wondered. So, Mike, I know that you and I both know who this is, yes, but I'll let you answer the question.
But you know what? I probably don't know his real name, but it is Billy Greenwood, who used to work here at... I'm trying to think what was with 103. When my dad was with 103, what was
he used
was
to work at Kix 106 and the Bull.
Bull, that's what it was. Yeah, he was the DJ for the Bull. But you may hear him because I know the last time I checked, he's on about 25 radio stations because, you know, because of technology, kind of like how we're doing the podcast right now. What you do is you just what's called voice track. So what he does is he'll drop in all the times he talks, upload them to 25 different stations or even 50 stations in basically like a Dropbox folder. They just drop them in like puzzle pieces between the songs, and he's DJing a station that may be on the other side of the world. My dad did that for years. You know, from his condo in St. Louis, he DJed a station in Kentucky. So you probably have heard Billy Greenwood somewhere, but he could be going by a different name because that's a radio name. So
I did not know that.
That's not a real name.
I didn't know about the radio name part. I mean, it makes sense. It just didn't dawn on me. I don't know why.
And, you know, who knows? Because that was recorded. I mean, the show is getting old. You know, we've used that basically since like episode 5. And that was recorded back in spring of 2008. So yeah, long time ago.
That's crazy. So, but that's awesome. Okay. The second question is, do any of you ever get the dining plan or do you usually pay out of pocket? So for me, I haven't gotten the dining plan since I got it for free dining back in 2008. So that was the last time I got free dining, or dining in general, the dining plan. And I haven't gotten Tables in Wonderland for a few years either, since they jacked the price up a little bit. I didn't get it. Mike, you haven't gotten it in a while, right?
I haven't because, you know, as a travel agent, you know, once you get what's called your you know, travel agent card, it's through it's the IADIN, you know, certification folks where, you know, if you book enough travel, you become a member of this club. And with that, you can get some discounted rooms for Walt Disney World a few times a year. And with that, up until recently, you could not add a Disney dining plan. So I've just always, with our annual passes, bought Tables in Wonderland, and that seemed to work out pretty well for us. Now, I will say that there were times when I couldn't buy the Disney dining plan that because of the type of meals we were going to, especially with, you know, an 8-year-old daughter, we were going to lots of character meals where I kind of kicked myself. The dining plan would have been a good thing because actually in those situations, I would have saved money. So, you know, I know some people are like, it's very black and white for them with the dining plan. And I think it's not so because, you know, if you're doing Chef Mickey's and 1900 Park Fair, you know, and places like that, the dining plan, you can come out ahead. Where I was missing out even with Tables in Wonderland, but it, you know, it really just depends on your situation and just to, you know, to have one less thing to worry about. I just bought the Tables in Wonderland and would get my dining as we go. So Pam, I bet you're kind of the same way. I mean, I don't know how you feel.
Yeah, I am kind of the same way. We do the dining plan every now and then just to make sure that I completely understand, you know, how everything's working and, you know, I want to experience it as many of our guests do. I mean, the fact is that for the typical Disney, you know, person that maybe only goes once a year, if that, the dining plan typically works out for them in terms of being able to purchase it in advance, having the convenience of everything being on their band, letting kids like that, you know, letting their kids kind of go and do what they want. I think that's another huge plus, especially for those who have like teenagers who are going to want to do things on their own. We have a lot of guests who want to do that. Plus, it makes it kind of an all-inclusive experience in the way that they can pay for it in advance. They do get some kind of savings and things like that. The other thing I want to mention is if you have kids, actually children who are under, not considered adults when they go to dine, The dining plan is typically a slam dunk for them if you're going to attend any of the character meals because it's just, you know, the price of those is crazy. And it's funny. I've seen the advice online where people actually advise the opposite. They're like, oh, your kids are little. You won't need it. Are you kidding me? If you go to Cinderella's Royal Table, whether your child is four or, you know, or six, you're still going to be paying that price. Or if you go to Chef Mickey's or Cinderella's Royal Table, all those things. So those are great things to consider. So like Mike, there are times when I really wish that I could do it because of where we're tending to eat and what we would be doing. It's just more challenging to do that with, you know, the kind of reservations that we as travel agents can make. But, you know, I do see the value for many of our guests, and it's not something that I feel like you should just, you know, decide, oh, it will work or it won't work based on whatever. Just do the math. And honestly, I will say, here's the other thing I will say. I see a lot of people using, there's one of the sites out there that like helps you calculate whether or not the dining plan would work for you. But all it does is use averages. Look at the menus. Look at the actual prices. Don't just do the averages. So something else to think about.
It's a good tip because you never know. Like you may want the chicken dish at every single restaurant, and that's usually the less expensive dish.
It's the sheep chicken. Remember from Father of the Bride?
Sheep chicken.
Sheeper chicken. That's awesome.
Absolutely. So yeah, lots of things to think about in that space. But yeah, I mean, you have to do your research. And you know what? Here's at the end of the day, if like buying the dining plan and me like looking at all that was going to cost me $5 more than if I paid out of pocket, I would buy the dining plan in a heartbeat.
Me too.
The convenience far outweighs some of the other stuff you're going to run into.
What it does too, it almost turns your Walt Disney World vacation into what I love most about cruising is the fact that it's very all-inclusive and you don't have to think once you get there. You know, that's my favorite thing about cruising.
I know, it makes me sad. I mean, not sad in a sad way, but like I'll hear like a conversation going on like at the table next to me. Mom, can we order that? No, you can't order that. And I'm like, aw.
I know.
If you had the dining plan, guess what? You don't have to have this conversation. You're like, order what you want. Yep, so, but anyways, that's kind of a cool thing.
Okay. All right. So I have one more question from the Facebook hashtag AskBOGP, and it's Dear Mike and the Ladies, I am a recent DVC member buying resale at Saratoga Springs in December. We are planning on buying the gold annual pass for me, my wife, and two children. Our first trip will be in February for 8 days for Princess Weekend, my first Run Disney event and Mardi Gras. I hear that when you purchase an annual pass that you'll receive a voucher first, then trade it in at the parks to activate your annual pass. Is there any way we can order our magic bands before our first trip? The kids will only have one more trip on their annual pass. Those little annual pass and DVC sliders for their bands would make them feel special. Thanks for everything that you do and keep up the great work, Brett.
All right, so
Mike, do you know the answer?
So the new DVC, it's hard not even seeing it. I'm used to reading it and running. I know you guys. Gotcha. It's tough for you guys.
Now you know how Pam and I feel.
I know you guys are way good. So so he's got his annual. So they have the voucher for the APs, but they don't have the physical APs yet.
Correct.
So that's when you actually activate the AP at Walt Disney World to start the 365-day cycle. I would imagine, let me get this right, Pam, that at that point, that's kind of when they get the ball rolling to mail you the magic band so that it's there when you get home, usually a couple weeks later, right?
Yeah, and I don't believe they're doing the DVC sliders anymore. I hate to disappoint them, but that was a really limited time thing when they first came out with those magic bands. That's what I had heard, at least. So anyways, sorry about that. But yeah, and I think it's going to be a challenge to to get those bands in advance, because like Mike said, they actually take the information to mail them to you after your first trip. If I am not mistaken, Ricky, that's the case, right?
I think you're right. Yeah, I've never been able to order a magic band ahead of time with my annual pass.
Right.
So, but, here's what I would say, though. With anything DVC, call member services and just ask. Because you know what? If they say no, you're going to have to wait till, you know, you're not going to get them until you return after that first trip of your annual pass cycle. I mean, you're not out anything. That was the worst case scenario anyway. So if you ask and, you know, somebody's really looking to make somebody's day. Who knows? I mean, there are a lot of opportunities for cast members to do special things. Not that it's going to happen, but I mean, Pam, would you say member services maybe gives you, you know, a little bit better chance than nothing at all?
Yeah, you can give them a call and see what they're willing to do for you in that space. Maybe they have some in a back room. Who knows?
I'll give you mine. I got a couple here on the boom. So, yeah.
All right.
What color do you want? I have every color.
Yeah. Use those. Yeah.
That's it. All right. So I think you're out of questions. Let me hop back to some of mine. All right. Good job, Ricky. Well done.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see. Malcolm is Disneyman UK on Twitter asks, with the new restaurant discounts for annual pass holders, are these going to be available through the holidays? Because I know Malcolm's going to be down there kind of during the busy week there between Christmas and New Year's. And actually, I think we're hanging out with Malcolm as well over at Epcot on New Year's Eve. So excited for that. So, Ricky, are they going to bump out the discounts during this busiest week of the year as they usually do?
Oh, gosh. I honestly don't know the answer. I would suspect no. But I mean, never hurts to ask when you're there. But last year we went to Trails End, and usually Trails on Christmas Day, and usually Trails End offers a Disney Visa discount for sure that I know, and I think they offer an AP discount as well. And we did not get the AP discount because it was Christmas Day, so I highly doubt it. But you can always ask.
Yeah, I'd be the same way. I doubt you're going to get that discount, because the thing that really irks me is like they block out tables in Wonderland, and like you pay money for that card, you know, like that card, you have forked out over $100 for that card, and yet it's excluded like on the 4th of July or even like the 3rd of July sometimes, you know, sometimes it's like
it's
days
excluded
around.
On Mother's
yeah.
Day.
Yeah, it's yeah. So Pam, what are your thoughts on this? And we'll hop on to another question.
I think that they're going to block out pretty much all the discounts on the actual holidays on Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, New Year's Day. Those are typically the ones. And the other thing that to be aware of, I know I hate to even say this, is that they do have the pricing at certain buffets and like all you care to eat places. They have that holiday pricing that comes up with the holiday pricing that's not just on holidays. So it's not just for holidays anymore, no, kids.
And it's like the 1-2 punch. Oh, sorry, sir. You're not going to get your discount. Oh, yeah. I guess
and
what we tacked
you
up $10
more money for dining here. Thanks a lot. Yeah,
it's $10 more today because per person because it's a holiday.
I would say hashtag thanks Shanghai, but this was before all that came into play.
Yeah, true. Just tell them you're from the UK and you don't know what Christmas is, man. I'm not celebrating this holiday. No, just kidding. I know you guys celebrate it. But, you know, hey, what do you got to do? All right, next question comes from Sherry. She says, hi, guys. I have a question about my upcoming trip. We're going from Disney's Hollywood Studios to eat dinner at Il Molino. I know it's a signature restaurant, but we are staying at Wilderness Lodge and want to go straight from the Hollywood Studios to the restaurant without needing to change our clothes. Our two boys will probably be wearing Star Wars t-shirts to meet Chewbacca. Is it really bad, sort of bad, pretty bad to dress that way for Il Molino, or should I bring a change of clothes for four people all day in the parks? Thanks, Sherry. All right, Pam, I know that Walt Disney World, you know, there are fancy places and there's casual places, and everybody down there at some point is a theme park guest. So how would you feel about going to Il Molino straight from the Hollywood Studios?
I would say I'm going to give you a new option. Not bad at all, because most of the restaurants there, that will be more than fine, really and truly. If it wasn't fine for adults, it's certainly fine for children. And Il Molino is not that, you know, it's not that dressy of a spot anyway. So you should be fine. You know, things will be good. Don't fret about stuff like this. You will find that Walt Disney World is typically very casual. There are signature restaurants located outside of the parks which do have some kind of dress code, but seriously, the dress code is like no tank tops. I mean, right. it's really not that, it doesn't require that kind of thing. So don't worry about it. Go and have fun. They understand that you're going to be in the parks and that you're, you know, doing stuff all day. And they appreciate that. And it's totally fine to do that. So go and have fun.
Good stuff. And tell Chewbacca hello from Mike, because I love Chewie.
Absolutely.
All right. Next question comes from Ashley. It says, hi, Mike and the BOGP girls. I have a question for you for the listener questions episode. But first, a little backstory. I thought she was going to say, let me take a selfie, because that's...
Let me stop you there. I want a shirt that says B-O-G-P girl.
You should get one.
Yes! That's it, yeah. I love this. Okay, we need to get Keith on a little logo for us.
That's funny. I don't want one.
we're going to make you get one.
Okay, that's great. Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Thanks, Ashley. I appreciate it. All right, she says, but first, let me take a selfie and give you a little backstory. I remember to this day the first time my family went to the Animal Kingdom. Oh my gosh, I remember reading this one. This is a Ricky story. Anyway, sure, I was still a little kid, but there are always memories that stand out. Being the older child, I often got to try out the more thrilling rides with my parents while my little brother sat out. This was a while back, so Expedition Everest wasn't even a thought yet. Cali River Rapids was what we had our eyes on. I remember I rode it with my mom first, but I didn't get splashed at all. I still have a theory that Cali River Rapids chooses one person in the whole vehicle to douse. And I, you know what, Ashley, I agree with you. I don't think it's chosen, but I think you just picked the wrong seat that day. And I don't think it's always the same seat, but you're right. Somebody always gets nailed. Anyway, it says she says everyone else remains dry. It's Disney's version of Russian roulette. So true. As a kid, I still wanted to ride and get wet. I begged my dad to child swap and ride with me. He did, but I couldn't tell why he wasn't excited. Once we got to the long stretch of the rapids where one person was about to get doused, my dad realized he was going to be the chosen one. He got drenched head to toe. His glasses fell into the rapids. The rest of the day and a good portion of the trip was spent searching for those glasses. That included calling every cast member we could and visiting almost any lost and found. No glasses were found. To this day, my dad has sworn to never ride Cali River Rapids again. And so here's my question. Is there any attraction you will never want to experience again, and why? I never want to go on Stitch again, for example. Sincerely, Ashley. She's down in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And she put WPS, and I know what that stands for, Woo Pig Suey. And they did beat Ole Miss in a big game this past weekend, so go Hogs, and we'll beat you on Black Friday, so we got the border war. But anyway, so Pam, is there anything at Walt Disney World kind of akin to this where you had such a bad taste or some kind of a random bad experience? You're like, man, I really don't want to go back.
So mine, the only reason why I don't want to experience something is typically because of motion sickness, which I get on rides that spin. And the tight spinning rides, like the teacups, I think are out of my wheelhouse at this point. I don't think that I'll ever be able to experience the teacups again, just because it gives me a headache and I feel like I want to just, it's just a horrible feeling. Anyone who gets motion sickness knows that feeling. So I really can't do that. Some of the larger circles like Dumbo and Astro Orbiters I can do, but you know, I couldn't do like a whole bunch of them in a row. And finally, some of the simulation ones are really challenging for me too, and I hate to admit this, right? Because I don't know, they didn't used to bother me when I was younger, so I'm not sure what the issue really is. The last time I rode the Star Wars, it was not that great, but I was in the front row. So I'm going to try again in the back row. I don't know why I'm going to try this again, but the thing is, I love Star Wars so much that I want to do this attraction. But for me, I haven't had an experience in something that was so bad that I wouldn't do it again. There's some things that aren't like there at the top of my list to do again, just because after the 300th time that I've experienced them, they aren't that exciting anymore. But I never had an experience like that. So, you know, the whole thing, oh gosh. But that, you know, I don't have anything like that. And I feel bad for your dad, but maybe he should give it another try. It wouldn't be that bad. Go when it's really, really hot.
Yeah, or LASIK or contacts next time.
There you go.
Know, something to avoid that. You know, I will say, you actually mentioned mine. The one is Star Tours, and it kills me because I am the hugest Star Wars fan. I love it. I have Star Wars everything. I wear Star Wars shirts to school. I mean, it's crazy how much I love Star Wars. But Star Tours, again, it's that closed simulator. It's like back in the day with Body Wars. And that was the worst. Oh. Body Wars was brutal, because not only did it jerk you way more than Star Tours ever does, but it was like just the visual of you traveling through the circulatory system is gross to me. I don't like blood and I don't like any of that stuff. So it was like a double whammy. But, you know, about every 3 years to 4 years, I'll get on Star Tours thinking I'm cured. And, you know, 20 seconds in, I'm like, oh, I'm going to hurl. You know, it's like, and I can't enjoy the attraction. So I've pretty much sworn it off for now, as much as that kills me, because it's my favorite thing. But that's my story. So, Ricky, is there anything you've sworn off because of a bad experience? I know you're back. Well, you know, Snow White's not there anymore, so plus for that.
No, Snow White's not there anymore. I'm good. You know, obviously, I mean, you know, I don't do dinosaur, but that's more of a personal choice, not because of any, like, adverse reaction minus the fear. But there is one attraction that I cannot ride anymore and will not ride anymore, and that is Tower of Terror. As much as it pains me, because I really, really, really think it's a very cool attraction, and I think that what they did with it was just so phenomenal. But that up and down motion, that is one motion that I can't handle for anything. Matter of fact, there is a terrible picture of me that is on my bookshelf, and it was the first and only ride I ever did on Tower of Terror, and I look like I'm gonna vomit all over the ride there, because seriously, I just wanted it to end. So I do not do drop towers, and I learned on Tower of Terror that I don't do drop towers, so I don't go on those. So Tower of Terror is one that I wish I could go on, but I can't.
So,
I can't do it.
I think it's a great question for the Facebook group here on a Friday. So, Ricky, remember, we got to put this up, and we'll have this discussion to kind of wrap up the week, you know, have a little good time on our Friday. So drop by facebook.com/BRGuestPodcast. Let us know what one attraction maybe that you have sworn off, and then a quick reason why, because I get a kick out of those. Hopefully you didn't lose your glasses. All right, next question comes from Tanya. She's in Grapevine, Texas. I have a dining plan question. We, two adults, two kids, they're 9 and 10, are participating in the dining plan for our trip in January of 2017. On two afternoons, we're planning to dine around the world at Epcot. Because we want to enjoy something from every country, we don't want to eat a large meal at any one country. However, we do want to try some of the sit-down restaurants. If all four of us are eating, but only two order adult entrees and share, how will our Disney dining plan be charged? Thanks so much for such a consistently amazing and family-friendly podcast, Tanya. All right, so Pam, how is that going to work if, you know, they sit down, there's the family of four, they only order two meals and they want to split the meal. Is that okay with Disney? How's that go on the plan?
Yeah, that'll work. And they're only going to charge you for two dining plan credits for that. You know, so I think that's perfectly fine to do. The only thing I would caution is maybe you want to tip your server just a little better than, you know, typical, because there are four people there and the servers do rely on those tips. But yeah, I think you're going to be fine with that, and you'll be able to use your dining plan credits accordingly.
All right. Let's get to a question from our live Facebook chat. Again, we are live on Facebook at facebook.com/BRGuestPodcast. So go over and like the page and you'll get a notification every time we record the shows here live. And it comes from Madeline, and she's just asking for an update on Pandora over at Disney's Animal Kingdom Park. So, Ricky, you know, what are we hearing? Are they still on schedule, or is the kind of the Rivers of Light fiasco with, you know, that coming out before Memorial Day last year, and it's still not, you know, nothing going on with that we know of 100% for sure. So, you know, do we know anything about the progress of Pandora?
No. No, I think Disney's going to be pretty darn tight-lipped about Pandora actual opening date for a really long time. Granted, it's still supposed to open next year. I've heard rumors that it's behind schedule, of course. So with that being said, you know, who knows? You know, the... December 31st is still technically 2017. So, I mean, I really don't know, you know, I don't know when they're going to actually get it open, for guests, and that, you know, depending on how they do it, it may be a phased opening. You know, that's kind of a rumor that I'm hearing as well. But I haven't heard anything concrete. I suspect we may get a little more with the information that's supposed to come out in November. With the Destination D event, they are supposedly talking very heavily about Pandora, especially because James Cameron, I believe, will be there. So I suspect we'll get some more information about Pandora at that time. Now, whether we get any kind of leanings towards any kind of opening, I don't know that we'll get that, but we'll at least get a little bit more about what the land will entail.
Good stuff. All right, so we're looking forward to Pandora. pretty soon. I mean, it's got, I mean, it's been so long. When did they announce it, Ricky? I mean, has it been 3 years or more?
Oh, since they announced it?
Yeah. Like,
ooh, it's been a lot longer than that.
I can't even remember. So it was like 2012?
I think, if I remember offhand, and I'm going to double check, I think it was announced back in 2011.
Holy cow, it's 2017 in a few months. Crazy.
Yeah.
That's nuts. Yeah. It'll be cool. I mean, I've heard it's cool, so I can't wait.
I'm checking, but I'm pretty sure that it was that long ago. Yeah.
All right. So. Well, let's hop to the next one. You can fill us in. It's from Max. He's in St. Paul, Minnesota. Hello, Pam, Ricky, and Mike. Everyone always says hello to Mike and ladies, so he's switching it up. So see, I'm hitting cleanup in that. I'm in the three hole. So Pam and Ricky, you're first. I like that.
Yay.
My extended family, 15 people total, are going to Walt Disney World in January. And we have a half day plan for Hollywood Studios. I didn't go there on my last trip in 2015, but did in 2013 over Marathon Weekend. The spinner medal is awesome. My question is Hollywood Studios even worth a half a day right now? Easily my fourth ranked park, with lots of closures in Star Wars Land and Toy Story Land not up and running yet. Should I stay or should I go? Thanks. You guys are the best. Max. All right, Pam, what could you offer Max in this kind of a situation?
So I still really enjoy Hollywood Studios, and I will tell you, because we've mentioned this a few times during this podcast, that we're, you know, at least Mike and I and Ricky, not so much, but are big Star Wars fans. And for that reason alone, I still really like Hollywood Studios. But I will tell you, I tend to do it, for instance, I show up partway through the day and stay through the fireworks there at Hollywood Studios. And even with the holiday ones, that's still the way I would do it. So I would, if you have a park hopper, I would plan on doing it that way. Maybe going somewhere else in the morning and then going to Hollywood Studios in the afternoon, evening. And that way you'll be able to experience, you know, the Star Wars things, the fireworks, and the other attractions that are open, and then still make the best use of your day.
See, I'm thinking a different way than everybody else in this. I still think you can do a full day and have a great time at the studios, you know, especially if you go see the shows, because, you know, like I have an 8-year-old girl, and, you know, the Frozen show is well done. It's comedic. It's sing along. It's, you know, for somebody that grew up, you know, Mallory, the Frozen's in her wheelhouse, and we enjoy that because she enjoys it. You got Indiana Jones, you got Star Tours, you got Great Movie Ride, you got Tower and Rock and Roller Coaster, you got the Beauty and the Beast show, you got Little Mermaid, you got Great Movie Ride. I mean, and if you have a couple meals squared in there, I mean, you know, Toy Story Mania, I didn't mention that. You got Fantasmic and the fireworks. I mean, that's more than the average person sees in an average day in a theme park. You know, you could make this still into a full day. And if you spend, say, you know, on a conservative side, an hour in Launch Bay with all the Star Wars exhibits and, you know, meeting and greeting, you know, Kylo Ren and Chewbacca or Darth Vader, if they switch it up, you know, who knows? I don't know. I think you can make an argument for a full day in the studio still. If you really take the park for what it is, you're not just like, I have to see the, you know, my e-ticket things and bust out. Then it's definitely half day. Ricky, where do you fall on this one?
I mean, I kind of fall on half, three quarters day, because yeah, you're right. There are, you know, a bunch of things that you can still do, but for, you know, this situation, he already says that he doesn't really like this park. This is his fourth favorite park. So in that regard, I would probably lean more towards a half day. He'll probably end up wanting to do the stuff that he likes there and then cut out. So while I agree, Mike, that you can potentially get a full-ish day out of the park, I think that, you know, for him, it probably wouldn't be. So I would say go. I would say spend half a day. And because I do think that there's plenty to experience, but then I would probably leave because I don't think that there's enough for him to do.
All right. Well, let's get to the last question of the day. It's from Christy's. Hey, she says, hey, Mike, I just talked to my stepmom who has agreed to let me take my little sister down to Walt Disney World for 3 days in January. I am so pumped. She has in all caps. She's going to be 13, telling her about the trip on her birthday next month. And I'm going to let her choose where we stay and which parks we go to. One thing I want to surprise her with is a character meal. and we're working together on this one. This is pretty fun. But here's the question for the show. Which character meal would you recommend for a 13-year-old girl? She's not super into princesses, just FYI. Okay, that may be projecting a little of myself on her. We're both tomboys for sure. Thanks. I'll definitely have to do a trip report for this one. If you have any more recommendations for this trip, I'm all ears, pun intended. So here we go. So for Christy, not necessarily the biggest princess fan. So that's good to know, because I think that would definitely change our answers. What character meal for a 13-year-old girl, Pam? What would be in her wheelhouse? Think outside the box, maybe.
So how about trying 1900 Park Fair for the awesome stepsisters and Cinderella and Prince Charming? Now, this is not your typical princess meal, although Cinderella and Prince Charming are there. The stepsisters make this meal. Yeah. I'm telling you, they are hysterical. The food's decent. Lots of things to choose from there on the buffet menu. And you can also hang out around the beautiful Grand Floridian and be just a monorail away from the park. So love that.
So I'm going to throw this in here. It's not a character meal. Go to Hoop-Dee-Doo Review. Because that's, it's not a character meal, but it's a dinner show. But I would think, that's something that you guys could just have a hoot. If now you got to read your little sister, because it's kind of corny. It's very kind of old timey, almost like a Branson type thing, Branson, Missouri. But I love it. I mean, if she likes that kind of fried chicken, strawberry shortcake, picnic style food, that could be a good time. And that's really thinking outside the box. And that could be a memory you guys have for a long time. So, Ricky, a final word. What would you do for Christy's little sister here?
So I'm going to go, I like Pam's idea, by the way, of 1900 Park Fair. This wasn't one that I thought of originally, but I'll cheat and I'm going to go too. But I would say do 1900 Park Fair for breakfast, because you have different characters and the fact that they're like all characters of like United Kingdom lore. So it's like Mary Poppins and Alice in Wonderland, Alice from Alice in Wonderland and the Mad Hatter, and you got Tigger and Pooh and stuff like that. So I think that that's a really neat one, because you've got an eclectic mix there. But the one that I thought of when I was thinking of what character meal, and I don't know, it may be a little juvenile, but I still think it would be fun, is I would consider doing Garden Grill at at Epcot in the land. I think that that would be a lot of fun, because you could see the rotating restaurant, and you've got, Mickey and Chip and Dale and Pluto. And I think that that would be a really fun one. Now, and maybe projecting the fact that I want to go there, because it's still one that I haven't done. But I think that that would be a really good one for a 13-year-old with her sister.
And the food's really good there, too. That's one of my favorites, just for the food. I mean, I like the character interaction, plus you're kind of in an attraction, too. But just the food alone is really good. So have a good time, Christy. We love it. I know your sister's going to have a great time on her trip. It's going to be fun. It's you and your sister. I love that idea. Yeah. All right. So I messed up on the ad read last Wednesday. So today's show, at the top of the show, was brought to you by the Magic for Less and Drew Baker. But I'm going to remind you here as we close the show, just to keep things fair, that virtualmickey.com has great apps for your Apple device, including Theme Park News Disney Edition. It's a free iOS app to read every morning, right as you get up, so you're having your breakfast better than the cereal box, and before you go to bed at night, to keep up with all the happenings in the Disney universe. So as usual, Ricky, what might you find on Theme Park News Disney Edition this week? What's in the news?
So obviously, there's the new fireworks show for Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Wait, what's it called again? What's it called?
Jingle Bell, Bam! Jingle Bam.
That's it. Yeah.
Stupid name. So that's the big thing. But part of that news that came out that hasn't been discussed as much is the fact that Santa Claus will now be found at Disney's Hollywood Studios. So guests can go meet Santa Claus up until Christmas Eve, and then after Christmas Eve, because he has to, fly around and go back to North Pole and stuff like that, you'll be able to meet Santa Goofy after that. So there's your news for this week.
Good stuff. And don't forget, you can get news tidbits and goodies like this without the editorialism that Ricky has to throw in about the name every time. You know, we leave that out. Yeah.
It's stupid.
Yeah. No, no, you're not allowed to throw that in. You're a journalist, Ricky. You want to be taken seriously. You can't say that stuff, even if it is.
I'm not being a journalist right now. You're being a blogger. Ricky, yeah. And it's stupid.
I know quite a few bloggers. And, but yeah, they're, yeah. Those bloggers aren't afraid to give their opinions on things, are
they're
they,
in the bitter barn.
Yeah. Hey, hey, I kept it out of the blogger. So.
Okay, good, good. All right, so check out other great tidbits like this. Theme Park News Disney Edition, free iOS app. Download it today. And thanks again to everybody over at virtualmickey.com for sponsoring the Be Our Guest podcast. Today's show, you know, is, of course, it is brought to you by, I almost said it again. Oh, my gosh, you've already done the ad read. So you know what? It's the Benadryl kicking in. So let's just say that is right. Let's just say follow us on the social media for more hijinks like this at Be Our Guest Mike on Twitter and Instagram, and drop by the great Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here and let you get on with your weekend. Thank you so much for checking in. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great weekend. Whatever you do, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.